Thank you so much for that. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Drawn like a feather, O Lord, ever closer to thee. No, I'm not going to teach you how to sing, but I'm going to teach you a song today. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 12. As you turn, I remind you that we so frequently say in the contemporary setting, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. But David in Psalm 22 felt God was far away when he said that. To which, as you turn to Isaiah 12, which in the meta-narrative, the storyline, as we've been reminded of recent time, is the great unfolding of the Emmanuel section, how it is that we so often praise God, but we praise him on credit. I've said it many a time. Some of the strongest churches I've ever witnessed had no pastor. But they had what they really needed. They had the Word of God and the Spirit of God working within them, manifested within them. Reminds me of Moses who said, Lord, is it not in thy going up in our midst? It's not myself. It's not Aaron or Miriam. It's not the Levites. But it's you, it's you, it's you, O Lord. Going up in our midst that we are distinct. How desperately we need the manifestation of the presence of the power of God in our midst. To which a lost person could come into this assemblage. And a child could stand up and bear witness. Yea, even before the testimony is given. And conviction come upon that person because that person, he or she, has come into the presence of God, for he has honored, he has hallowed, he has made himself present. We claim on credit as we praise on credit a lot of things. Isaiah is still in the process of teaching me this song. I've said more than once, this prophet who prophesied for better than 60 years, if you study his ministry, he forever was singing a song unto the Lord, the songs of Zion. We're good at that. We're just not good at being like Isaiah. For there's a distinct difference. We're good at singing, but we're not good at following through with the words that we sing. Our doctrine of our songs are important. Boy, we've been hearing that from Dr. Patterson, have we not? And so be it. And a word well put. But we're so inclined, even with some of our favorite hymns, when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows row. You can identify with that, can you not? Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. And we can say these words so easily, and oh, we have these warm fuzzies inside, and oh, yes, this is theologically astute, and this is good stuff, the words of this hymn. If Isaiah were here today, he would say, I like that song. It is well with my soul. For he too will bear witness by his life, and therein lies the distinction that what I sing is what I live. And the world is waiting to see that distinction. Not just that you get emotionally caught up in the warm fuzzies of worship. But the God has chosen of his initiative to come down and manifest himself, to which even if we didn't sing, includes myself, on key or in right rhythm and time, he takes more desire in those things than in time and rhyme and rhythm. Though Satan should buffet and trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his old precious blood, as Peter would say, for my soul. Yeah, good theology. Mm-hmm. Wonder why it is that in turn people come and they visit our congregations. And they observe and they watch, and we theologians can even criticize and be astute in our ways to say pharisaically, oh, but that is, as I heard recently, 7-Eleven music. What's that? Well, that's where you take seven words, doesn't matter if it's even out of the Bible, and repeat it 11 times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remind you of Amos, who says, take away from me the noise of your vows and your instruments. I will not listen. I will not heed. I will not hearken. Take away from me your free will offerings. I will not smell. I will not acknowledge them. There needs to be a change of heart. More than even that, a change of life. For we have substituted heart to be emblematic of emotion and not all that I am. Shed his own blood for me. Praise the Lord, O my soul. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. You know I'm mocking and spoofing, but pay attention. Just part of the introduction. In fact, our text is introductory to the Emmanuel section. We get all goose pimply. Oh, the bliss of this glorious, wonderful, marvelous thought. And think that we have worshiped God. When at times people with no more than a third grade education walk and know the Lord better than we. My sin, Isaiah would say, hey, that's good theology. And I like that Christ, that Messiah business. I talked a lot about him. But my sin, not in part, but the what? You can do better than that. I've taught you better than that. I'll have a quiz if you don't do better than that. It's rational selfishness. My mama used it and worked on me. My wife uses it and works on me. It bugs me, but it still works on me. It better work on you too. Not in part, but the what? The whole is. Don't you like the present tense? Nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Isaiah would say, I talked about that. I didn't know it was called a cross, but boy, I talked a lot about that righteous, sovereign, serving king who's coming. And I bear it no more. We just get, ooh. Even so, it is well with my soul. Oh, Lord, haste the day, Isaiah would say. I talked about that day. Oh, a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, when the covenant of the Lord will be established and the hearts of the people will be turned back and the land that is bereaved will be as Beulah, married and with child, and the people will be handsome by pleasing unto the Lord. I see a day coming. Oh, Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. You're sitting out there saying, I don't know if I should get excited about this or not. He's about to set the hook, I think. Yep. I'm not. Isaiah is going to. When the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Huh. Aren't you yearning for that day? The trumpet shall resound. And the Lord shall descend Even so, it is well with my soul. See, our hymns, they're pretty well true to the word. Isaiah would say to me as he teaches me, and thus through me to you today, are we true to the word? God is more concerned about your relationship with him than whether or not you're able to sing with the Levites. He's more concerned of your heart before him as circumcised without the fat that would impede, as it would yield itself to him, of a new heart, of a pure heart, of a changed and transformed life, than he is about our religiosity and ceremonial perfunctorialism. But we are easily snookered, deceived, pharisaically, passively inclined to accept less than the outpouring and the fulfillment of God's favor and blessing and power. Isaiah would say, is it really well with your soul? Well, yeah, sort of. Galliotti, are you willing to die for the Lord? I mean, so. Want to die? Anybody in chapel here yesterday? Under conviction? That's what it is with the Word of God. It's sharp on both sides, cuts both ways, pierces, lays bare. We will say and sing our hymns. Don't have time to go through the others, just one for introductory. Oh, it is well with my soul. But the world looks at you and me and would see an incongruity and a lack of consistency and hypocrisy and two-facedness. How dare we sing these hymns with such unawareness of how God views them, yea, views us who sing them. Is it well? Well, I don't, you know, it's just, this world sort of concerns me, Lord. There's wars and rumors of wars, and there's threatenings and economic reprisals, and gasoline keeps going up, and who knows about the cartel and all that over there, and there's unrest and uneasiness, fluidity and instability, and on the list goes. And well, it's well with my soul if you ask me to put yes or no, yes, but not really, really so. But it's well with my soul if you, I know I need to say that. I get the warm fuzzies when I sing it. Oh, boy, that really makes God happy. Is it well? Is your life and that which you sing, is your life and that which you teach, is your life and that which you preach, is your life commensurate with, is the message and the man coming together in harmony so that the world both hears and sees that there is the legitimacy, as testified yesterday, of the integrity of the Word of God fleshed out incarnate, to which it is in the midst of these types of times and seasons, well with my soul. Read with me as I look at Isaiah 12. It's a beautiful song, two parts. First part, 1-3, initially primarily as to Zion, God's people, singular you, and then it becomes the plural you as that begins to transition as they are to reach out into, as they say in the Ozarks, usins, the people, the peoples, the Gentiles, the world, the earth, and all who dwell therein. It's a song of celebration as a conclusion to Emmanuel. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, yea, Yah, Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known, and all the earth cry out, yea, with a shrill, with a shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah, he's teaching us this song. What do you mean in that first part? In that day. Oh, there's a day coming. Oh, yes. The prophet, as he stood as one who was a seer, who saw God in the past and could see God as his hand was moving providentially, poignantly, powerfully, purposefully into the future. There's a day coming. A glorious day it's going to be. There's a day coming when God's wrath, out of the context, as we will see this morning, when God's wrath would be upon Ephraim, and God's wrath will be upon his people, Judah. There's a day coming when his anger, when his breathing outness from his nostrils will cease, and he will not come. He will have comfort and pity and mercy. Same word that he begins this section in chapter 40. Comfort you, comfort you. Very much a Isaiah way and a stylistic form of repetition. Oh, God is a God who seeks to comfort. And you say, oh, I want comfort. Well, if you want comfort, come to it the biblical way, and it won't matter whether in turn Satan buffets or in turn God Almighty tries your faith. You can declare either way, this is my blessed assurance. And it is well, Isaiah would sing, with my soul. Oh, beyond the wrath of God, which isn't contradictory to his salvation, but as a part of his surgery upon sin, he declares, behold, God is my salvation, my Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid. I will firmly affix myself, and I will not tremble, and I will not shake, and I will not fear because of God Almighty. For the Lord, for Yah, yea, Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also is become my salvation. Wait a minute, Isaiah. I'm a seminary OT prof. Well, dolly, duh. Aren't you quoting Moses in Exodus 15? You didn't cite your source. Don't worry about the copyright. And he would say to me in parentheses, stupid, my source isn't Moses. It's God Almighty through his Holy Spirit moved upon him, and the Holy Spirit moved upon me and through me to write these words from what he wrote, because it wasn't his words, his words. Oh, think with me as we look back into the past. They're in the Exodus event. There they were at Belshaphon and the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, and all of the ocean was before them, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. Boy, that's a bad place to be. That's almost like being at seminary. Going from OT class to Hebrew class. It's just, I heard that down there. That's like, I know what you're thinking. That's like what? Standing between the devil and the deep blue sea. But nonetheless, there they were. What are we going to do? Oh, step back and see what God's going to do. What did God do? What a divine, miraculous intervention. What a display of the power of the strong, outstretched arm of God. With my right arm, I will reach down, as he said in chapter 6, and I will redeem my people. Well, how strong is that right arm? It's stronger than anybody else's. How far can that thing reach? Further than you need it to go. Well, just exactly what can he do with his word and with his breath out of his nostrils? He can part the Red Sea. That's what he can do. And all the faith it took on their part as they crossed over. Hear a fish, there a fish. I know, it's not in the text, but there's a shark here, shark. That's why I find it humorous there in the text where when they cross the Jordan River, it says, in haste. Yeah, I can understand that part where the water's impounding, whatever else. But they hoof it across, and in turn, there, as in the song and the celebration of Moses, he declares and he rejoices and he says, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song, and the Lord is become my salvation. Isaiah is saying, there's a day coming. Oh, a great day, greater than that day, that the Lord's going to do great and mighty things. Didn't Sister Miriam and all the other sisters get their timbrels and there with their tambourines go out and said, the Lord has done magnificently, the Lord has done victoriously, the Lord has done triumphantly, and the horse and his rider he's cast into the sea. That's more than seven words, but I wouldn't mind hearing that 11 times. Why? Because it wasn't on credit. Wasn't any IOU attached as a tag inside the sleeve. Faith. They trusted the Lord, and he did magnificently. And God intervened triumphantly. And Isaiah says, yes, yes, oh, I see that day. A glorious day. Beyond the judgment of God, I see a day. A day like the day of the Exodus, as in the crossing of the Red Sea. So also I see a greater day of salvation and deliverance for you and me. This makes me want to sing. Shout for joy. We want to sing and shout for joy, but we don't want to cross the sea. Or if you were here yesterday, we want to form a committee about whether or not to get out of the boat. Y'all listening? Okay, at least nod your head or something out there. Dr. Mosley said, it's cool in here, and I think they're going to sleep. Must be like class in that regard. And he declared, this is what God is going to do. And we'll drink from the fountains, from the springs of salvation. Oh, this is for Zion and for the people of God. Oh, but there's a day coming again as the repetition of this second part of this song. And he talks about it. And he rejoices in it. It says, in that day, ye, in the plural, as with God's people, also with those of us who are grafted in, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings, his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Isaiah has already said, he said, hey, I see a day. Back there in chapter 2, as with Micah, don't worry about copyrights. As with Micah, who declared, there's a day coming when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be what? Exalted. And in turn, the nations shall come into it, and his law will issue forth out of it. And he will sit and rule and reign as judge over all. Don't you yearn for that day? A day when in turn, that they'll beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks, and nations will not rise up against nation, and they will learn war no more. This context out of which we hear this song is in the crucible of war and threat of war, of instability and all of that. And Isaiah dares to say, oh, I can praise the Lord and I can praise his name, for I stand steadfastly unafraid. Whatever. Well, with my soul. Oh, Isaiah, I need what you have. Oh, he's done triumphantly exceedingly great things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah, tell me about this Holy One, Kadosh, Israel. Kadosh, separate, in the midst. Intimately. Personally, inwardly, in thee. Isn't that a contradiction? Mm-mm. Holy, separate, near, nigh, intimately close, inward, with me? Mm-mm. How can this be, Isaiah? Well, let me take you back. The storyline. I was a young man. At this point, somewhere around probably 20 years of age. Minding my own business, and God gave me a vision, and I saw the Lord, Adonai, Master, Sovereign. And I saw him in his temple, high and lifted up. We know Jesus says in John 12, 41, that he saw Christ. That's a pretty good vision. I saw him high and lifted up, and I saw the seraphim, and they surrounded him, and they paid tribute and homage and adoration unto him. What a worship service. And I saw in turn not only that, but I heard, holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. Now that's holy to the max, folks. Well, how can holy to the max be in our midst? I don't have time to preach Romans and the rest of the Bible, but read it, it's good. How that God would tabernacle in you and me. That is a wonderful thought to ponder. I saw him holy, and just a portion, as it were, of his garment did fill the temple. There's no way that no building of any type could contain the awesomeness of the weightiness of the majesty of the sovereignty of the supremacy of the holy otherness of God. And the building did shake, and smoke was there. And I saw that the earth is full of his glory. Oh, you saw that? Man, I look around and I don't see that. That's the problem. We're too much like the people Isaiah ministered unto, instead of like Isaiah, the minister of God. Oh, God, give me eyes to see. Isaiah, you saw the Lord in all of his majesty and holiness, and that there's a day with the fullness, even in that day of the Lord in his glory. Yeah, I sure did. And not only that, I saw myself and all my wretchedness, my sin, not in part, but the whole. All of it. And I was undone. I was like a dead man. I was separated. I was lost. Not as unto his salvation, but as unto the very fact that man without God and his grace, there is no hope. But the good thing is, as we would sing that, I like that hymn, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his precious blood for my soul. I confessed my sin, and God forgave me and purged me and cleansed me. He called me. Of all things, he called me. Anybody here called of the Lord? But he said, it's not going to be easy. He said, as he heard the deliberation of the heavenly council, who shall we send and who shall go for us? He said, here am I, Lord, send me to whom you want me to go. I'll tell you to whom. They'll have eyes, won't see. Anybody got any of them dar kind of people? And they got ears and won't hear. The only problem is we have kinship with them too. And the hearts will be overladen with fat and will not yield. And I said, all right. But how long, he said, until the cities lie desolate? That's pretty for a peace, Lord. But I'll preserve a remnant. Oh, but I saw the Lord. See, I saw him in his holiness. I never forgot it. Through my 60-plus years of ministry, oh, I never forgot it. That's why I keep on singing. I saw Jesus. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Didn't know all of it, but I sure know it now. In the bosom of Abraham in paradise, I saw the Lord. Okay? That's where you got that holiness. Uh-huh. Sure did. You keep saying and talking about this Holy One of Israel all the way through your ministry. Wonder what Deutero and Trito. Galileo, don't interrupt. I'm trying to tell you the story of how this song came about. Sorry. I'll tell you about the in the midst of the business. It's about 6 years later, during the Syro-Ephraimite Coalition. We throw those terms out just to let you know we've read books. When Syria, Rezin, its king, and Pekah, the king of Israel, they were in confederacy. And boy, they were down here making war. And they were going to say, Judah, you got to join us. Because back in Karkar in 853, when Shalmaneser III came up, and he won, but he incurred such a loss, he had to go back. So in turn, it happened over 100 years ago. It could happen again. Only way it's going to work is if we come together and align ourselves. Well, Ahaz was king of the southern kingdom. And everybody was hearing about wars and rumors of wars. And everybody was shaking like limbs in the boughs of a tree in a raging wind. Isaiah wasn't shaking. God sends him and his son, Shear Yashub. Isaiah nicknamed him Hope. A remnant shall return. Goes to the king Ahaz and says, pay heed. Paraphrase, shut up, chill out, cool it. Don't be afraid, don't be frightened. God will take care of this in less than a lifespan. But Ahaz, the ding-a-ling dodo that he was, 2 Kings 16, sends his envoy over there to Tiglath-Pileser and makes his own alliance and looks at the modeling of the altar and does all kinds of atrocities and compromise. We're beginning to think, you know, things haven't changed much in this conversation with Isaiah because political leaders back then were ding-a-lings and they haven't changed. We got political ding-a-lings today. Pay attention. People back then had eyes wouldn't see. People don't see today, including preachers and professors. But oh, we went to the king again. I went to the king and said, ask a sign. He said, oh, I shall not ask of the Lord a sign. He says, ask a sign. You weary me. Will you weary my God also? And you know. You ask me about the Holy One in our midst? Well, here it is. And it begins within this concept of the virgin shall conceive. Emmanuel, God with us. And, oh, he tells me more and more about Emmanuel, the virgin. Hey, then, in the period of about 10 years, this child will come to discernment and accountability, and I'll take care of these firebrands of Pekah and Rezin of Syria and of Israel, Ephraim. Do you know God did that very thing in 732? Syria fell. In 722, Ephraim, Israel fell. God said, trust. Isaiah said, that's all I've been doing, is trusting in the Lord. And not being afraid. I've just been trusting, firmly affixing myself in the Lord. And he's been my focus each and every day. Thereby, the freedom is mine to go before a king or kings and say, whatever the Lord tells me, this will I say, like Micaiah. Comes then to chapter 8, and he has another son, Mahar Shalal Hasbaz. He nicknamed him Judgment. Hastened to plunder, hurried to spoil. I finally found out where I got my name, Galeote. My nickname's Judgment, too. Seems like if you have a weird, strange name, you get nicknamed Judgment.
And he had a son. And it was a message name. And Isaiah, with his son on his right hand, and remnant shall return, and on his left, hastened to plunder, hurried to spoil, hope and judgment, side by side, pressed on in his wife as a family, as signs before the people, and God used Isaiah mightily. And he said, listen about this one, Emmanuel, in our midst, this Holy One. He will be as the refreshing waters of Shiloh if you trust him, but he will be like a flooded torrent river of the Euphrates if you don't trust in him. If you will accept Emmanuel and not put your trust and faith in this confederation, then in turn, he will be as unto you a refuge. But if you reject him, he'll be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. If you will accept him, he will be as light and joy. But if you reject him, he'll be as darkness, of deep darkness and not of light. If you don't understand, there's a day coming with the bloodbath of judgment. But oh, he is still on his throne.
and he is with us. Isaiah, you said, praise his name. You gave us Yahweh. But why didn't you just simply say, praise the Lord, praise his name? Just simply say, praise the Lord again. I believe purposefully because he wants us to know there's one that I saw, it's Yahweh, but there's one more than Yahweh. I really don't know his name, but I saw him upon the throne. But I can tell you this about him, this one in our midst. He's a child born. He's God in human flesh. I can tell you this also. He's a son given. That's his deity. You can't birth deity. A child born, a son given, that's identification to the max. You got it. What else about this one? I can give you the names by function. Oh, he's the marvelous, wonderful counselor. Boy, what a contrast between the ding and dong and all these other political leaders. And he says, he's the wonderful counselor. He's the warrior God. He's the everlasting Father. And he's the Prince of Peace, this one who comes and the government will be upon his shoulder. Doesn't that sound like a good day? And he will rule upon his throne and there will be no appellate court. But he will be supreme. Oh, marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Amen. Of who he is and what he has done is going to do. But yet, he's going to come, this one, Emmanuel, and he is going to do what? He's going to judge and destroy Ephraim. Not only that, he will use the Assyrians, for he is God. Not only that, he will come and he will bring judgment and affliction upon the southern kingdom, but he will preserve his remnant. How can judgment and hope be wedded together like that? It's not hard. Look at my son and look at this one. That's just the way it is with God. His judgments aren't contradictory to his work of salvation. They're complementary. And Isaiah says, in this time, helpless, Israel and my people will be like a tree toppled over in a raging wind, rotten to the core inside. And there in that helpless, hopeless situation, a stem will come out of the root of Jesse. And in turn, a branch will come forth out of this stump. Hear me. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, if we're looking unto him, it still can be well with our soul. So well that the world would say, oh, Isaiah, tell me more of the hope that is within you. And he declared, beyond that judgment, there's a day when in turn, beyond the coming of this branch, this shoot, where there was no hope, life comes forth. And out of this one, in turn, a restoration and an establishment of peace upon this earth. And in turn, with this, there will come the knowledge of the Lord, Habakkuk says, and the earth shall be filled, Isaiah says, with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that covered the sea, Habakkuk says, filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that covers the sea. It just gets better as the storyline keeps on going. And Isaiah declares, that's why the Holy Spirit had me pen this song, because I see a day coming, a glorious day. But Isaiah, you never knew his name. Oh, yeah. Peter writes about this salvation, and about this grace business. Oh, we, the prophets, we inquired, and oh, how diligently, earnestly, with great zeal and fervency, we searched and researched. Anybody willing to do that for the glory of God here as a student? And concerning the time of, and boy, this seems so contradictory, of his suffering and of his glory, just like holiness and just like indwelling nearness. How can this be? I can tell you how it is, because God is able to do what you can and I could never do through his son, this promised one. And I searched and I inquired, but I never ever really knew his name. But it didn't keep me from singing. But I can tell you this. I like this part. Behold, God is my Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And I will trust and not be afraid. Oh, Yah, Jehovah is my strength and my song, and has become my Yeshua. I never knew his name. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of Yeshua. Oh, Isaiah, how you convict me. You never knew his name. I know his name, but I bring it shame. For as your world, so as my world. Trouble, tumult, wars and threat of wars, as it was with your people, my people, eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts overladen with fat and will not yield. Your people, just like my people. You had a family and a wife and two sons. I have a wife and two sons. You're called and I'm called. And you have a song and I have a song. But when you sing it, God perceives it and hears it differently than when I sing. It is well with my soul. Why is that? Because his life was lived in harmony and commensurate with the words that he preached. Isaiah, we have a song. Well, let me hear it. Goes like this. Yeshua is the sweetest name I know. I like that. You know, I preached for 60-some years about salvation. My name even has to do with salvation. Oh, I searched and looked and yearned to know. You know his name. And he's just the same as his lovely name. Oh, yes. Oh, I can tell you about this one who's bringing this Goel redemption salvation. And he is the same. Oh, he is the one. And that's the reason why I love him so. Now hear me carefully. We sing a lot of words, but God doesn't inhabit them. I'm not talking about omnipresence, but in special manifestation, for if the glory of God were to move this day, he would rock conviction in you and me. And it will humble us, and we would cry, woe is me, for I'm undone. And we would have eyes that could see. And not on credit talk about that day, that glorious day, when again God will do victoriously and triumphantly. Yeshua is the sweetest name I know. Oh Lord, may we who have the fullness of the storyline live as Isaiah lived, though everyone else shaking like boughs of a tree in a raging wind, stood as with his wife, and a remnant shall return and hasten to plunder and hurry to spoil, as signs and testimonies to the faithfulness of God, the Holy One in the midst of me. His name is Yeshua. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. If you know it, there'll be a song in your heart. That won't be on credit, but God will habitate himself intimately in your life. And you'll stand in having done all to stand in the tradition of the prophets and of the apostles and of the triumphant, victorious, militant, onward Christian soldiers, church, the bride of Christ, triumphant and victorious, pressing on to a glorious day. Makes me want to shout and rejoice and praise the Lord. Yeshua is the sweetest name I know.
Thank you, Brother Gary, for that beautiful...